Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of August, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign, Illinois. Take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Logansport Elevator that belongs to the Andersons. That's the Climbers facility. And we'll discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Isaac, of course, is at the top of our list. It wasn't last week when we were at Zinno's Grain Export Elevator facility in Convent, Louisiana, but I'm sure it's at the top of their mind this week. We'll tell you about our visit to Zinno during today's edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The contracts in the wheat pit were higher. September at $8.85 and a half, up 30 and three quarters. December at $9.05 and three quarters, up 30 and a quarter. And next year's July wheat, that's the harvest month, up 12 cents today at $8.59 and a half. September corn futures, $8.10 and a half, up 21. December at $8.14, up 18 and a half. And the March at $8.12 and a quarter, up 15 and three quarters. May futures, $8.05 and a half, up 15 cents. And July corn of next year, $7.87, up 11 and a quarter. September at $6.84 and three quarters, up three. And next year's December at $6.54 and a half, up 5 1/4 cents. September soybeans today, $17.63 and a quarter, up 30 and three quarters. November at $17.53, 30 and three quarters higher. And January beans at $17.42 and a half, up 28. The March at $16.63, 24 and three quarters higher. The May at $15.67 and a half, up 19 and a quarter for the day. And the July at $15.38 and three quarters, up 18 cents. Next year's November beans, $13.47 and a half, up 9 and three quarters. Bean meal futures finished the September at $5.44, up $9.80. Bean oil at $56.75, $1.02 higher. Live cattle futures at $119.40, up 57 and a half in the August. October at $125.50, up $1.75. August feeder cattle at $140.40, up a dime. September there at $143.70, a dime higher as well. And the lean hogs finished the October at $73.70, up 45 cents. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading the October contract at $95.45 a barrel, down 88 cents. And the RBOB gasoline, we're going to change things up just a bit today. The RBOB at $3.10 2/10 cents. That's down 2 4/10 cents. Ethanol futures at $2.60 6/10 is up 2 6/10. And here's the real change. The RBOB minus the ethanol, I'm told by our ag economist, is a good indication of whether the ethanol plants and particularly the blenders can make money off blending ethanol. As long as that spread is a positive spread, they can today. And there's a 49 6/10 cent positive spread between the RBOB gasoline and ethanol. Natural gas at $2.63 4/10. That's up 2 cents for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.11 1/2. Just about a half cent lower. And the gold futures on the afternoon at $1,659.50 an ounce. Down $6.40, the U.S. dollar at 81.54. That's 0.17 higher. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Let's actually go right to the special weather statement for the area. It's heavy rain possible with the remnants of Hurricane Isaac during the Labor Day weekend for the area. Hurricane Isaac, which came ashore in southeastern Louisiana early this morning, is expected to track northwest through the lower parts of the Mississippi Valley through late Thursday before heading on a more northerly course on Friday. By Saturday, that storm will begin to move northeasterly. Current projections from the National Hurricane Center indicate the remnants of Isaac will be located in the southwestern part of Missouri very early Saturday, with the weakening surface low moving roughly along a line from Jacksonville to Danville, Illinois. By Sunday, rain will gradually spread north into the area on Friday afternoon and Friday night and continue through much of the weekend. We'll have more on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Mile
It's Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the marketplace. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson is on the line from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, today was a busy day in Chicago. Let's start with Isaac because it's been creating some problems in the port with a heavy rainfall. How much damage do you think it's doing, and how much of a problem is it putting in the New Orleans port area in making exports slow down on their way out of the United States?
Well, I think, you know, there's no doubt they're projecting somewhere around 13 to maybe even 17 inches of rain down there. So, and the storm surge is supposed to be quite large. Now, you know, we were down there last week, fortunately, and when I asked them about the impact that they had at the Zen-No unit down in Coven, they said actually in Katrina they were only closed down for about 6 hours before they were able to start to do things again. Now, Isaac's coming in pretty much the same area. But I think the bigger thing is how much rain is Isaac going to put back into the river for us? And that's probably the blessing in disguise. Even if he does interfere with exports, he can't probably interfere much more than the extremely low river levels have. And so I looked it up. For every 1 inch that the river is down compared to what they consider normal, and 12 feet is normal at this particular time of the year, they have to reduce their load by 17 ton, or about a little over 600 bushels of grain. And so, you know, when we were down there last week, they said they were down to about 52,000 bushels. And when you figure that back, that means that the river is about 12 feet normally at this time of year. And so I think Isaac, in some ways, as much problem as he's going to cause, I mean, he shut down 94.7% of all the crude production, 66.7% of natural gas, and a million barrels a day are refined, you know, and go into the loop down there, and that's been closed since Monday. So he definitely is having an impact, but it could be a positive impact in the long term.
And then turn your attention directly to the CME Group in Chicago. It was pretty active up there. What was happening? What was so special about today?
Well, you know, today, Todd, was just about wheat, wheat, wheat. I'm telling you. It's Russia came out, you know, we know that the G20 meeting is going on, the G7 meeting has already gone on, and there's been a lot of speculation because Russia's supposedly going to have a separate meeting talking about what their wheat situation is. But we know that production is going to probably be about 75 million metric tons, down 20% over last year. And if you look at that, and at the rate that they're currently shipping out wheat, it would say to us that they may be out of wheat for export by November, December. Now the question comes up, what do they do? Unlikely they're going to do a ban again because that was extremely unpopular. But, yeah, from what I understand, they have a lot of tools that they can use. They can do an export tax. But probably the more subtle one is they can control the railway. And if you can control the railway, you can control the exports. And so when wheat got a boost out of that, it basically brought corn along. And, you know, there's some question when it comes to Isaac as to the damage that he may do, because we do have a lot of corn that has extremely weak stocks on it. So I think the trade just got euphoric when the wheat started to go up, and then everything basically followed right after that.
And euphoria usually subsides, and so do the prices that go along with it. Do you think that's in the offing?
Well, I think, you know, we're headed to a holiday weekend, and so I think, yes, that's probably going to be in the offing. I don't expect to see another day up like this tomorrow and be pleasant, but I don't expect to see it. One of the other things that underpinned corn a little bit today, too, was that the Argentine Cereal Exchange actually came out and said that Argentina's probably going to produce 20% less corn this year just due to dryness in the coming year. And so, you know, they represent about 20% of the international trade. You know, they're only second to us. And so that certainly doesn't bode well when you look at the prospects for increasing the corn supply at the world level.
Did that number surprise you? Because it would seem that the price of corn on the world market would be high enough to drive farmers to put corn in the ground one way or the other.
Well, you would think so, and I was somewhat surprised by it. But I guess it I don't know. You know, their banking situation, when you talk about South America, is so different than we are. You know, they cannot borrow money against any crop inventory that they have. They're limited, no matter how many hectares they have. And so it's a very different situation from what you and I are used to here in the U.S. So, no, it doesn't surprise me a lot.
I suppose it harkens back maybe to a lesson John Bondurant tried to teach us last Thursday when he was talking about Argentinian farmers coming into the United States looking for a safe haven in terms of land because they just weren't really sure what would be happening in their country.
That's exactly right. And, you know, those the countries in South America have this nasty habit of all of a sudden taking over the currency and suddenly changing the currency values. And there are just so many things that are different there and that what we don't have to worry about right here, right now. You know, you bring up the corn situation. I think something that a lot of people don't realize just how serious this is. At one time, Dave Hightower said if we got below 130 bushels on average, which we know we're well below,
right,
we would be at the levels that we saw the 1973 embargoes come about as far as the world food numbers go when it comes to corn. Now, when you look at corn, okay, as of the last USDA report, we have 52 days left in the world at the end of next August 31st if this all comes about. The big difference right now is 50% of that world corn supply is in China. And as of today, and John Bondurant talked about how we were probably going to see 4 million less acres of cotton planted down in the south, you know, and that would probably come into corn. China right now has 40% of the world cotton stocks. And so, you know, the availability is a lot different than what the numbers might actually tell us. And so how do we handle that? I think it's going to take, you know, either a higher board price, but more than likely probably a higher basis price.
All right. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Ted.
Hey, you have a great afternoon. That's Jackie Veich. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Mark Report for this Wednesday afternoon.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Now, if you'd like to hear Jackie Veich or any part of the Closing Mark Report again or any portion of what you might be able to pick up from our own home station, you can do that any time of day or night. Right there on the web, the address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, will be along in just a moment to take a look at the agricultural newscast for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In agricultural news, USDA says that net farm income will rise 3.7% this year to $122.2 billion. The highest level since 1973 on an inflation-adjusted basis. The expected rise in income is fueled by a combination of surging prices for corn and other crops, a result of expected declines in the supply, and by the widespread use of government-backed crop insurance. USDA expects a rise of $8.4 billion, or 39%, in what is known as other farm income, driven overwhelmingly by increased farm insurance payouts. The forecast does not include an estimate for crop insurance payments alone. Executives at DuPont Company say that its seed division will have sufficient overall supplies of corn seed to sell for planting next year in the U.S., but supplies of some hybrids will be limited due to damage from drought. DuPont Pioneer this year planted a significantly larger seed corn crop than last year. Pioneer is also starting to produce corn seed in Argentina and Chile that could help fill in gaps in U.S. supplies next year. Pioneer officials say that the drought should not fuel higher prices since the company's pricing is not based on market levels. The International Longshoremen's Association, who represents workers of Two Coasts says that it most likely will vote to strike when its current contract with shippers expires at the end of September. Meanwhile, grain elevators in the Pacific Northwest reportedly are preparing to run during the lockout using management, something that union members traditionally oppose, sometimes violently. U.S. bank earnings rose 21% in the April to June quarter. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation says the banking industry earned $34.5 billion in the second quarter, up from $28.5 billion in the second quarter of 2011. About 63% of U.S. banks reported improved earnings. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You know, all this week, I've been taking you day by day through our Follow the Corn bus trip. Day 3, that's August the 22nd, or Wednesday of last week, was kind of a do-or-die day. If the trip was going to be a success, the tour of the Zen Nose grain export elevator needed to be a big home run and hit way out of the park. I'll remind you that the 53 people on board came along for three reasons. To see Dan Zwicker, to see John Bondurant, and mostly this one. To get a look at how the corn and soybeans produced in the Midwest leave the country. The moment the facility manager, Eric Slater, told us he was splitting us into groups of 7 or 8 for the 2.5-hour look-see, well, I was pretty certain things were going to go really well. Zinno freed up about 8 employees to take care of us. Think of it this way. That's about 20 hours of labor, half a week's pay. First, though, Eric wanted us to know a few things about Zinno Grain. It and a companion company own the CGB grain elevators dotted mostly along the river system in the Midwest. Zinno is a Japanese livestock cooperative, all types of livestock, pork, poultry, beef cattle, dairy. It was clear that every one of the employees at that export facility had one goal in mind, shipping grain. It is the United States' number one corn export market, Japan, that is, even more for Eric Slater and crew. I think they truly feel responsible for feeding Japan, so much so that I felt responsible for feeding Japan. I've never felt more connected, more directly responsible for keeping a nation fed than when we were sitting in that bus listening to Eric Slater last week. He put it this way, Japan is a nation of about 160 million. That's not quite half the population of the United States. They all live in a space about the size and geography of California, surrounded by water. It's impossible for the Japanese to feed themselves. So, in classic Japanese business form, Zinno delivers corn and soybeans to the livestock cooperative just in time. If anything interrupts that schedule, then Japan's in trouble. I suspect Isaac's a pretty big problem, but at least you could see it coming. Other snags, the earthquake and the tsunami, the drought here in the Midwest, well, they're much harder to balance. Port elevators are much smaller than I expected. Zinno's is the big dog in that race, and it can only store about 4 million bushels. By comparison, the Andersons right here in Champaign County can store a bit more than 12 million in the bins. They try to flip that about 2.5 times in a year. Zinno, well, that flips 4 million bushels 100 times. That's 400 million bushels unloaded, mostly from barges, and then loaded onto ocean-going vessels. They let us go everywhere. Answered every question we asked, and let us take photos and even video. Zinno, I think, wanted the farmers on board the bus to know just how important they were not to just the company, but to the people of Japan. I was convinced, and I'll never again look at the export market in the same way. That point hit home when Eric Slater told us making money for the Zinno Grain Company was about 4th or 5th down on the list of the company's goals. It's kind of a nice thing. American agriculture feeds the world. No. American agriculture is responsible for feeding the world. And those are two entirely different statements. On behalf of the Follow the Corn bus tour, I thank Dan Zwicker, CGB Enterprises, Eric Slater, and Zinno Grain for making every hour spent on that bus, waiting and riding to the Gulf port, worth the effort.
agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. We'll check the cash grain market. Scott Butcher is on the phone line from the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's in Logansport. Good afternoon to you in Indiana. How are things there today?
Oh, just fine.
Have you been operating the ethanol plant at a profit over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, things have come back around a little bit, and we've had some been able to have a little bit more of a margin here lately.
What makes the difference?
I think they're, a little bit of a move up in gasoline and ethanol prices. Corn had fallen off just a little bit from where it had been. So, it did help ease things up a little bit.
And so you're operating fairly well. Are you getting fresh new crop in yet?
We are seeing a little bit, not big quantities yet or anything. But in our area, it's, a field here, a field there, just, kind of find out what's out there and where the moisture is low enough, I guess.
Producers are telling you what about their yields?
All over the place, as we expected. We've got fields that are, going to have 20 bushel and 200 bushel in the same field. It's going to be really hit and miss. I think the big thing is that it's, one producer told me this morning, soil type is going to be the biggest issue this year. Obviously the big factor determining whether it's got anything on it or not. So that's kind of why we're seeing so much variation.
The heavier the soil, the greater the soil whole water holding capacity, the better off it was.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It basically was able to withstand the hot weather a little bit better than the lighter stuff.
Do you have aflatoxin concerns there?
We don't, we have not seen anything yet, Todd. We're, obviously keeping, composite daily composite samples and stuff like that. But, so far have not seen much.
And I know it causes a problem with livestock in other places, but what about the ethanol plants? Can you put it through?
Yeah. We can put a very small amount through, anything that goes through the ethanol process, it becomes more concentrated in the DDGs. So really, even in ethanol production, it's actually probably a bigger deal than what it would be, other places, just because the levels increase as you go into DDGs, and that's going right into feed. So.
Yeah, it's all about the livestock in either case then.
Right.
Yeah, and what are your expectations? So you're looking for 20 parts per billion or less to go ahead and purchase, or what?
Yeah, right now just, 20 is kind of the magic number you're looking at, whether it's, above or below. So, and if you're getting up to that level, then you really start have to, do more testing.
All right. And your bids for the day are?
Right now, cash corn would be 843, beans 1763.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Scott Butcher. And Scott is with the Anderson's Climbers facility located in Logansport, Indiana.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Well, this is the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'll return in just 2 minutes when we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated about the weather forecast for the Midwest and for South America.
It's National Whiskey Sour Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1794, Sir Gilbert Blane was born, a Scottish physician. He was among the first to require a diet including lemon juice on Navy vessels, which virtually eliminated scurvy. James Lind discovered the value of citrus juice in 1754. In 1828, the first U.S. patent for a break of any kind was issued to Robert Turner of Ward, Massachusetts. The patent called the device a self-regulating wagon brake. In 1915, Nathan Pritkin was born. A nutritionist, he believed that exercise and a low-fat, high unrefined carbohydrate diet helped reverse his own heart disease. He founded the Pritkin Longevity Center in 1976. In 1967, Charles Darrow died, an American inventor. He designed the board game Monopoly in 1933, and he received a patent for the game in 1935. The patent titled it a board game apparatus, intended primarily to provide a game of barter. We wonder what Darrow would think of Farmopoly, where the tokens include a pig, cow, boot, hat, tractor, and armadillo. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City is on the phone line to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Drew, let's start with Isaac in the Gulf of Mexico and, well, staying pretty close to New Orleans.
Well, you know, the storm's just not in a big hurry to go anywhere, and that's what the biggest problem is for that particular region right now, is that the rains are 24 hours old, and we're going to see it continue through a big part of the next 12 to 24 hours, and some additional impressive rains are going to occur. Some of the Doppler radar estimates so far suggest that the totals have gotten upward over 8 inches across some of that region, pushing up close to 10, and that includes almost all the southeast corner of Louisiana. Of course, the storm is going to take a track now that's going to come up through portions of the lower delta and end up coming across parts of Missouri and then curving through a portion of the Midwest. It will lose intensity as it moves along this path, and so the rains that occur in Missouri and from there over to northern Ohio and southern Michigan will be considerably less than that, which is going to be occurring, of course, in the lower parts of the delta. We expect to see 1 to 4 inches of rain occur across the state of Missouri, and some amounts similar to that may occur in a narrow band occurring from maybe northeast Missouri extremes, southeastern Iowa perhaps, over to northern portions of Ohio, maybe some of the border areas in southern Michigan. Again, some 1 to 4 inch amounts in that band. And it might be something locally heavier, but it's going to be a narrow band. I think most areas to the north and south will not see nearly as much rain. And so the impact on the Midwest, however beneficial it's going to be, may still be somewhat limited in its extent.
Some producers have told me, and I'm sure this is correct, that they're not so much concerned about the rainfall. But if heavy winds come along with this storm and maybe even lead through the Midwest, but don't bring the rain with them, that could be a serious problem. Do you see heavy winds making their way through parts of the corn-growing regions of the nation?
Well, you know, we've had a considerable amount of corn ear droppage occur in some areas here recently, and the comment out there is that these ears have been dropping without a whole lot of wind anyway. And so you add a little breezy condition that'll come with the remnants of the storm, and that raises some concern that we'll see more of that kind of thing take place. But no, from a general perspective, the wind speeds with Isaac by the time it gets up into Missouri and points north and east from there should not be normally threatening. But we will see some speeds of between 15 and 30 miles per hour, and there will be some thunderstorm wind gusts that will be stronger. So from that perspective, there will be the potential for some lodging and some ear droppage taking place in the very worst case corn stalks out there. But from outside of that, I don't see much of a problem, though.
And a quick word on South America, please.
South America right now is in relatively good shape. Most of Argentina got heavy rains earlier this month, and they're seeing some drier, warmer weather now, which is perfect. Their wheat crop is going to become better established. In Brazil, some early corn planting is starting to occur in some of the irrigated fields. There's not a lot of rain falling in Brazil right now. soil moisture in the south where the wheat crop is produced is just about ideal. So I don't think we need to worry too much about Brazil at the moment since that early crop will be irrigated. But at some point in the next few weeks, we will have to look for some increase in rainfall.
Thank you so much, Drew.
Have a good day.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for Wednesday afternoon. That wraps us up for the day. Be sure to visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.